Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
Maybe just tell me a little bit about your issue with Toronto Public Health and the situation, what you've seen sort of unfold over the past week when it comes to the H1N1 vaccine.
Well, as a former member of Board of Health, I recognize the importance that this particular organization performs and provides to the city. And I have seen not only the long lineup at the varying centers and the clinic offering the H1N1 flu shot, but I've spoken with a number of people. The concern that people have raised with me is they've said, look, you know, the communication strategy was poor. I've had a few doctors say to me, you know, please tell public health to get it right. Given the fact that, you know, we've been told for a long period of time to expect a pandemic a large proportion coming to the city and beyond, one would expect that we would have a system in place to deal with, for the most part, any outbreak. And what we've seen, and based on the experience I've had with talking with people, they have said they're not satisfied with respect to communication and also the long lines and how the program was rolled out. And I think that there's a need to ensure that there's confidence in the system, because once the confidence is broken, obviously there is a tremendous problem in terms of ensuring that we can help the public.
What was your initial reaction when you saw what was going on? Was it almost an embarrassment?
I found it perplexing, and it certainly raised the proverbial red flag, and as a result, it caused me then to look a little further into what was going on, and that's part of the reason why I've sent a letter to the Chief Medical Officer of Health for the City of Toronto, Dr. McEwen, asking him, why after SARS, you know, did we have to have, the experiences that people have gone through over the last week or so in terms of trying to get the H1N1, vaccine, and what went wrong with the process? Because we know that it wasn't perfect. We know that something went awry. At this time, we don't have all the answers. So I don't want to be critical. I want simply answers so that we can restore confidence within the system.
How would you initially describe our pandemic prevention strategy for the city?
Troubling, alarming, problematic.
And you want to see some sort of change made so we're better prepared in the future, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think everyone depends on, the health system, and especially the fact that we expect to have the experts in place, and a process and a system in place to help the population, help to the public, help the moms and dads dealing with their children in line, or giving a level of confidence that we are assured that the system is there to work for us. Now, granted, I know that with the death of the 13-year-old young boy, the hockey player, people got scared and panicked and so on. But I think that one would expect that to take place in any process where we have a pandemic. I mean, people will panic, and I think that it's up to the public officials to ensure that we provide a level of confidence and information so that people can be assured that there is a system in place and we can minimize the level of panic. I think that's our job, and I think that as we recognize, certainly the system hasn't worked the way it should have. And I think we need to ensure that the public's confidence in the system is restored. And that can only be done by, politicians asking questions of the medical officer of health and the medical officer of health investigating, reporting back, so that the public can be assured that the next time around, the system will work. And if we can identify some of the factors as to why the system didn't work, then we really need to fix them so that there is confidence in the system.
Do you think that public confidence has been shaken by this?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I have spoken with a number of members of the public, and I'd say a number, a large number. In fact, I've actually gone to the line at the Scarborough Civic Center, and I've spoken to people there. Now, granted, I have to tell you that the frontline, you know, nurses and people from public health have actually worked really hard to provide, a sense of balance and calm at the centers. And they really, you know, work with the children. I've seen it, you know, with my own eyes. But clearly, people are alarmed. People have told me that they were disappointed. As I said, I've had physicians say to me, you know, please, counselor, can you tell public health to get it right? Because what they have done and how they rolled out this process was not right. That's what they've said to me. So I'm trying to respond to that call, and I'd like to provide notification to public health that people have said to me they're not happy with the way the system has rolled out. And the question is, can we do better? We must. Should we do better? Obviously. And there's an expectation by the public that we should restore confidence. And I think the confidence has been shaken. And I think that Toronto has the largest municipal public health system in the country. And people across the country follow our lead. And if we can't get it right, then it is quite frankly telling to those across the country. But obviously, that's not the objective. The objective is that we have to get it right for the people in the city of Toronto. And I don't know what has transpired to create the problems that we are obviously encountering, but we know this is not a perfect system that we have seen rolled out, and we need to have answers responded to by the medical officer of health through the questioning that needs to take place to ensure that, you know, the public has confidence in the system. We've gone through SARS, and we knew what happened then, and certainly we were told that we learned from that particular process. We have also spent a considerable amount of time planning and preparing for a pandemic. And this, I guess, to this point, this is minor in nature, if I can use that term. And it appears that we have not been successful in responding to this level of an outbreak. So what will happen when a major outbreak takes place? And I think that is a fair question, and it should be answered.
Now, another thing that I'm expecting to come out today, Toronto Public Health will be questioned about if any preferential treatment is being given. There's a situation in Calgary where the Calgary Flames, their families, staff, they all received the vaccination early. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they're not saying if the team has been able to secure any vaccine, saying that it's a private matter. So will that be questioned at all?
I don't know. I suspect that if you're looking overall at process and the system, you need to have answers as to who would be provided with the vaccine first. Obviously, the frontline workers are the people that you want to have the vaccine first. I don't know enough about what happened in Calgary to speak to it. As a politician, I lined up in line and got through part of the process and got my shot because I'm on one of the high-risk group. I have asthma. But I think that we really need to certainly provide the vaccine to those people who are going to help others. I've heard about the private clinics also having access to the vaccines as well. And so I think there's a need to at least understand the process. I can't comment too much with respect to what has happened in Calgary, but I think we need to know who would be getting the shots, ahead of others and so on.
I guess when you think about it, though, hockey players, not really high-risk category.
Yeah, well, I certainly wouldn't classify them as such. But as we all know, the systems that are in place are not foolproof for the most part. But there is a need and a recognition to understand what has transpired and what is taking place. And I think perhaps, that question needs to be added to the list that the Chief Medical Officer of Health for the City of Toronto needs to respond to.
If it does happen to come out, like people are standing in line waiting for hours and a team possibly is getting access to the vaccine, it could be a big deal if this is what has happened.
Well, no doubt, especially given the fact that they are not considered high risk. I mean, I think that if you define that there's a group that's high risk and need to get the vaccine, that should be the priority. And if you're suggesting that there's a two-tier system, obviously we understand that in some instances that there are. The question is, how has that come about? And do we fully understand how we, you know, allocate, in this particular case, the vaccines to be distributed? And how is it that others are able to get it who are not deemed to be of the high-risk classification of people? So, I mean, obviously, you know, this, there are some pluses here in that this affords us an opportunity to investigate and get answers, because as we know, certainly as I, my last count, apparently 31 people have died from H1N1, and maybe that number is changing, I'm not sure, but that's the last number I heard. And so it's unfortunate, but at the same time, it provides us with an opportunity to assess and make some determination as to whether or not the system is working. We know, obviously, it's not working well. And the question is, why not? And so how do we improve it? And I think that's really the bottom line.